12. Sojourn.
But sailing frigid waters is not enough. If you truly want to add an octilius to your corner of the Visium expanse, then you need to find their nests. But they are territorial. Noctili will attack in swarms.
From Kovanar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 47. A frigid breeze whipped across Ildin's face as he reached the balcony found by Amandal and Felinia. He shielded his eyes from bright sunlight as the Barjanists finished their incantations. Dark blue magic wisped beside him, forming a transparent ramp leading to the icy surface below. No sooner was the spell finished than Commander Calamir hurried down the ramp with several soldiers in tow. Waiting to descend, Ildin studied his illusory replication of the map Vaim had brought. The Mindalornian didn't want the real map damaged, so she had insisted that Ildin replicate it for his long-range scouting assignment. Unfortunately, he would have to recast the illusion each day. I don't know why she just doesn't have it transcribed, he thought, stepping onto the thick-packed snow. Calamir shouted orders, but Ildin ignored him. He closed his eyes, uttering an incantation. He could feel the illusory magic swirling around him, penetrating his flesh. His hair stood on end as a tingling surge spread across his entire body. Still uttering the incantation, Ildin opened his eyes, watching as the white light coalesced into a humanoid form. Soon, the illusion of himself took shape. Fly! The illusion shot into the air, zipping along the crystal structure that the expedition had exited. Within seconds, the illusion reached the tower's pointed dome rooftop. Stop! Ildin spun the illusion in the air, taking in the view of the vast crystalline metropolis. The expedition was gathered at the city's northern end. Those crystal towers spread to the south and looked to be arranged in a circle. He sent the illusion higher until the city's layout became clear. If there were streets beneath the ice, then they would probably look like a flowery design on a map. He turned the illusion back to the north and saw Chrysian Bay, three grand finials from the city's edge. While in the bay, Ildin had not seen the tips of the crystal towers, despite his illusion resting on the ship's highest yardarm. The ice shelf was just high enough to hide the city. That can't be a coincidence. Keeping his illusion in the air, Ildin studied the map, noting the direction they needed to take to reach the reliquary. He commanded the illusory map to hover while removing a compass from his coat pocket. Ildin oriented the map so it was aligned with due north, then shuffled around it to find the heading. There it is, he whispered, aligning his illusion on the line between the bay and Tardalim. He sent it flying, and the illusion zipped over the tops of the crystal towers. It cleared the city, a length of several dozen grand finials, in a matter of minutes, and sped across a snowy plain. Time to find a suitable campsite. Amandal didn't see any point in carrying his belongings. Why do it yourself when you can have a conjuration do it for you? He had dismissed all but two of his earthen conjurations. The walking clumps of dirt carried both his and Ildin's belongings. When Amandal returned to camp, he found Sylas sitting on a pack where Amandal's tent had been. Ildin was not around, and Sylas informed Amandal of the illusionist's scouting assignment. Amandal wasn't the least bit pleased when he heard Vaim had threatened Ildin. I don't know about that woman, he thought, stepping across the ice. The expedition had gathered outside between the crystal towers. Squads were crowded together, all carrying their winter gear. Amandal passed Hebesir, who was glaring at Felinia. They definitely had a history between them. Amandal quickened his pace, moving toward the rest of Squad 1. Calamir and Ildin, however, were not present. Vaim and Kaidal stood together, pointing to the crystal towers and whispering to each other. He counted the members of Squad 1. 9, including Vayam and Keidel. 2 of the soldiers were missing, a man and a woman. Amandal didn't know if they had been killed or transferred to another squad. Velinia grinned when she saw Amandal and his conjurations approaching.
"Well, that's a smart use of your talents," she said, chuckling. "Why carry your things yourself?"
"Want me to conjure one for you?" he asked. Velinia cocked her head questioningly. "I'm just being a gentleman." Velinia snorted.
"Amandal Aramian, a gentleman?"
Vayam glanced over her shoulder at that remark. She eyed Velinia with what seemed to Amandal a jealous gaze. "You'll find that I am many things," Amandal said, stopping beside Velinia. "I know you're more than capable, but this way, if we run into anything hostile, you won't be impeded by your pack." Velinia rolled her eyes and shook her head.
"Thanks for the offer, but I can manage."
Amandal leaned closer. "If you change your mind, I
won't,"
Velinia interrupted, gently pushing Amandal away. "Your loss," Amandal whispered. He noticed a pleasant expression forming upon Vayam's face. She probably thought Velinia was resisting one of Amandal's advances. "Don't you dare get any ideas." A knowing smile spread across Vayam's lips, but she returned to her conversation with Keidel. Before long, the entire expedition was gathered. Each of the squads was clumped together. Several conjurations stood within the ranks of the expedition, carrying the bulk of the provisions. The sailors from the Jaiberan had mingled with most of the higher-numbered squads. Captain Idara, however, stood alone and kept his distance. The captain looked scorned. His eyes glared across the expedition to Kalamir, who stood with Ildin by a hovering map. Kalamir and Ildin were talking, probably discussing the route they should take out of the Crystal City. Once they finished, Kalamir turned to face the expedition.
"Squad leaders, line formation,"
Kalamir shouted. A rumble of commands echoed off the crystal towers, and the expedition filed behind Amandal and the rest of Squad 1. Dardel, the man second in command to Kalamir, stepped away from the others.
"Company ready?"
Dardel shouted the question. A resounding affirmative echoed off the crystal towers. While Kalamir shouted another command, Amandal turned to Velinia. "Do you think he even considered the noise might alert nearby creatures?" Velinia shrugged. "Seems counterintuitive," Amandal muttered. If Amandal were in charge, he would have made it a point for everyone to be as quiet as possible. Sure, they probably scouted the surrounding area before gathering the expedition, but what if something wandered close? Ildin jogged across the densely packed snow, arriving beside Amandal.
"Thanks,"
the illusionist said, gesturing to the conjuration holding his pack.
"Of course."
Ildin reached for his pack, but Amandal stopped him.
"My conjuration can handle it. Just focus on your scouting."
"Well, the scouting is all done," Ildin said with a chuckle. "I have my illusions sitting at our campsite, but I welcome an unladen stroll."
"You men," Velinia muttered.
"What?" Ildin asked, shrugging. "Why burden yourself unnecessarily?"
Amandal chuckled.
"Work smarter, not harder, I say."
Velinia fought back a smile, her gaze lingering on Amandal. Ildin started, looking back and forth between Amandal and Velinia. The illusionist looked as if he wanted to ask a question, but he didn't. He was probably wondering if something had changed between them that morning. Amid Ildin's perplexity, Kalamir came to the head of Squad 1 with Vayam and Keidel. They talked briefly and then began the march through the Crystal City.
"Mr. Sara, Mr. Aramian," Kalamir called. "Muster your minions to walk ahead of us. I want to be apprised of any impending ambush from creatures or natives."
"Now you're cautious?" Amandal wondered.
Kalamir shouldn't have issued all of that militaristic shouting. Velinia immediately began uttering an incantation. Arcane magic wisped around her, followed by illusory magic. Her magic took on the shape of various creatures, each with a cluster of deadly magic within them. That's clever, Amandal mused, watching as Felinia mustered more of her illusions.
Mr. Aramian, Calamir shouted.
Hold your horses, old man, he grumbled. Now what should I conjure?
Earthen conjurations seemed the safest things to summon. Amandal begrudgingly conjured 10 more of the creatures. If the old soldier had made his intentions known earlier, Amandal wouldn't have just dismissed his conjurations. The route the expedition took through the Ishari city was uneventful. From what Amandal could tell, the city had not been traversed for some time. Of course, there was fresh snow on the ground, so that could have covered any tracks, but if there were creatures lurking about, they didn't occupy this side of the city. The expedition traveled for several hours until they reached the edge of the Crystal Towers. The ice shelf continued beyond the Crystal City with occasional snowdrifts rising from the icy plain. As the expedition passed the last Crystal Tower, Amandal eyed a colossal archway to his left. It resembled a pointed oval and was made entirely of pale blue crystal.
A pointed archway?
He had heard that elves marked the entrances to their cities with towering archways. Elves liked pointed shapes, probably because of their ears. Could the Ishari be a faction of elves? Those statues in the bay did have pointed ears. If they were elves, perhaps they had fled to the mainland ages ago. Elvenkind in Kaldah were very secluded, but they had not always been like that, at least not according to legend. Long ago, the elves spread across Kaldah, mingling with humankind. But now most elves confined themselves to the northwest parts of the mainland. Nearly every elf lived in the cities of Merath or Cardorth, though there were some nomadic elves, and there was a small settlement on the Isle of Murdan. Those on Murdan, however, were the remnants of those who had first settled the island, but had been driven from their homeland several hundred years ago.
Ildan, Amandal said, nudging his friend and pointing to the arch. What do you make of that?
The illusionist glanced to the towering archway.
I don't know. It looks elven, doesn't it?
Ildan laughed.
How should I know?
Amandal sighed, keeping his eyes on the enormous arch. He was intrigued by this Ishari city. His mind raced with possibilities.
What's happening to me? Amandal asked himself. This feeling.
Oh, no,
he said in consternation.
What's wrong? Ildan asked.
Amandal turned to his friend, his eyes wide with realization.
I think I'm succumbing to the lure of adventuring.
The illusionist burst into laughter. Amandal ignored his friend, glancing back to the Ishari city, now several hundred finials behind them. If that city were left over from ages past, what else lay hidden in the far reaches of the world? That question spurred a tantalizing sense of curiosity Amandal had never felt. Though it was well into the evening, the sun had not quite set. It had lingered on the horizon for several hours, leaving the frozen plain in a state between sunset and twilight.
We're not too far from the campsite, Ildan said, frowning in concentration. Do you see my illusion? He asked, pointing into the sky.
Amandal narrowed his eyes.
Nope.
Whoa, Ildan blurted. There's something to the west, like a pack of creatures.
Calamir spun at the remark, throwing a fist in the air to signal a halt.
Where?
The old soldier demanded.
A pack of what?
Ildan shrugged.
I don't know.
You didn't move your illusion, did you?
Calamir asked.
Just into the air.
Keep it there,
Calamir barked.
You two,
he pointed to Amandal and Felinia.
Go find out what is crossing the plain. We need to know if they're hostile.
Felinia nodded, sending one of her illusory birds to the west. It circled a nearby snowdrift, waiting for Amandal's conjuration.
Ilden, Amundel said, turning to his friend, I need...
The illusionist, however, was already uttering an incantation to muster enhancing magic. Once he finished, white particles beamed from his hands, striking one of the conjurations. Amundel felt a quickening surge course through the earthen body, and he sent it running.
Are you ready? Felinia asked.
Amundel nodded. Despite Ilden's enhancement, the earthen creature struggled to keep up with Felinia's illusion.
Guide us, Ilden, Felinia said, staring off to the west.
Veer to the south, Ilden said.
Through his conjuration, Amundel watched Felinia's bird turning to the left.
I see the conjuration, Ilden said. You're maybe 500 finials away, and you're moving faster than the pack. They're slow.
How many are there?
Calamir demanded. Ilden tensed.
A lot. Hundreds, if I had to guess.
Calamir swore vehemently, then shouted orders for the expedition to prepare for battle. Incantations rang through the air, but Amundel kept his focus on the conjuration. Felinia's bird disappeared beyond one of the snowdrifts. She was flying it low to the ground, probably to keep it out of sight. Faint trumpeting filled the air as the enhanced conjuration dashed up the snowdrift. Once atop the crest, the pack became visible, though Amundel couldn't quite make out its individual members. They looked like a black mass moving south across the snow. Suddenly, Felinia burst into laughter.
What?
Calamir barked. The conjuration bounded down the snowdrift. With each step, the creatures in the rear became more discernible. They looked rather squat, and each walked oddly. They were waddling. And they had fins. Long fins. Felinia's illusions circled above the mass of creatures, drawing their attention. The trumpeting grew louder. The noises sounded more curious than hostile. Several looked up, revealing long black beaks with orange streaks. Bright orange feathers adorned their cheeks, accented by a splash of blue.
Some kind of bird? Amundel wondered.
They looked too big to be birds. Besides, those fins didn't look like they could be used for flying. Certainly, there were bird-like creatures that didn't fly. Perhaps these were a cousin of sorts to those birds.
They... Felinia struggled to speak through her mirth. They're penguins!
A what?
Asked one of the soldiers. Ilden let out a confused sigh.
Penguins? What's a penguin?
Amundel hadn't the slightest idea. His conjuration reached the rear of the pack.
Or is it flock? He wondered.
These penguins did look like birds. Several of the penguins turned, but only gave the conjuration a momentary glance. They kept waddling across the snow, marching to the south.
Are they hostile?
Calamir demanded. Felinia shook her head, still laughing. Calamir ordered the expedition to stand down, and the mages mustering their magic cut their incantations short. The old soldier shouted some orders, and the expedition continued forward. Felinia, however, couldn't stop laughing. The squads filed past her, but Amundel and Ilden remained near Felinia.
Do we need to carry you? Amundel asked.
Felinia shook her head, struggling to quell her mirth by taking deep breaths.
I can't, she said between breaths. I can't believe we almost attacked penguins.
Calamir shouted for the three mages, but Amundel ignored him. Hevesir passed by, staring sullenly at the stragglers from Squad 1. Nearly half the expedition passed by before Felinia stopped laughing.
We should hurry, Ilden suggested.
Felinia glanced at the head of the expedition, then to the southwest.
How far away is the camp?
Maybe a grand finial, Ilden replied.
We can meet them there,
Felinia said, turning away from the expedition.
Let's go after that wattle.
A what?
Amundel said, as Felinia darted away. Was she referring to that group of penguins?
What's she doing? Ilden asked.
I don't know, Amundel shook his head, but I'm not letting her go alone. He concentrated on the enhanced conjuration, commanding it to follow the penguins. The creatures probably wouldn't get too far ahead, but the conjuration would leave tracks for Faelinia to follow. Come get us when you arrive at the campsite. I'm sure old Callie won't be pleased if you run off with me.
Old Callie?
Amandul winked, then took off after Faelinia, Ildin yelling after him to come back. When Amandul was halfway between the expedition and the penguins, Faelinia passed the conjuration.
Damn, she's fast, he thought, and she's wearing her pack, too.
Faelinia had probably enhanced herself after darting away. The most beautiful woman of the expedition caught up to the rearmost penguin, and the creature simply glanced at her. The penguin stood as high as her chest. It studied Faelinia briefly, but kept on waddling. Amandul kept his conjuration close to Faelinia, fearful that the animals might turn hostile. Before long, Amandul caught up to the waddle and shouted to Faelinia,
"And here I thought you were one of the smarter ones."
Faelinia glanced over her shoulder, but returned her focus to the penguin. She was talking to it. Did she honestly think she could have a conversation with it?
"Does it understand common?" Amandul asked.
Faelinia shrugged, but kept on talking to the penguin. The creature occasionally glanced at her. It replied once with that trumpeting noise. Amandul followed them, but kept his distance. After a while, movement caught Amandal's eye over one of the snowdrifts. Ildin bounded toward them, running at an enhanced pace. Why hadn't he sent an illusion? Probably wants to see the things in person.
"Whoa!" Ildin blurted, coming beside Amandul. "Those things are big!"
"I know," Faelinia exclaimed. "I had no clue there was a breed this large. Usually they're half this size."
"So what are they doing?"
the illusionist asked.
"Returning to the colony," Faelinia said. "See, he's engorged." She pointed to the penguin's stomach. "He's bringing food back for his baby."
"Really?"
Ildin asked, not sounding convinced.
"And how do you know about these things? Exotic creatures fall into Amandul's realm of expertise."
Faelinia barked a short laugh.
"My grandmother had a book that talked about rare creatures. The penguin was one of them."
"Huh," Ildin said. "Are they worthwhile to use as conjurations?"
Faelinia's eyes widened in shock. "He asked," Amandul said, rearing back, "not me." Ildin raised his hands in an attempt to placate Faelinia.
"I'm just curious."
"No,"
Faelinia shouted, shaking her head. The outburst drew a glance from the penguin, but nothing more. Ildin glanced to Amandul and whispered,
"You can cross those off the list."
"They were never on my list," Amandul replied.
"Good,"
Faelinia said emphatically.
"If you scooped one of these into your conjurer's void, you'd be killing a chick, and I won't allow that."
"Fine by me," Amandul said. They walked with the penguins for a time, and Faelinia dispensed all she knew about the creatures. The birds migrated back and forth across the Abadine wasteland, breeding on a particular spot and traveling back and forth to the ocean for food for both them and their young. All in all, the penguins were interesting creatures, but they didn't seem like they would make useful conjurations.
"Unless a person needed help catching fish," Amandul mused.
"We should head to camp," Ildin suggested. "Calamir is barking."
Through his conjurations, Amandul could hear Calamir shouting orders. The old soldier wanted the camp erected and the Barjanists to start casting their magic to shield the camp. The Barjanists were to take shifts in the night, maintaining a barrier to protect the camp and create a dome of sorts to trap the warmth of the fires.
"All right," Faelinia sighed. "Goodbye,"
she waved to the penguin and stepped away.
"Be safe as you return to your colony."
The creature didn't really seem to care that he was losing his traveling companion. The bird kept waddling across the icy plain, trumpeting occasionally.
"They're so adorable,"
Faelinia said, glancing over her shoulder.
"I wish I could keep one."
Ildin shook his head and glanced to Amandul with a questioning gaze.
"You really like those penguins, don't you? Amandal asked.
Of course,
Felinia exclaimed. Who wouldn't?